Joining us from the state capitol this morning is Senator Kevin Cook. Senator Cook, welcome. Good to have you with us this morning.
It's always good to be here. It's good to talk to Idaho Falls. I miss it.
Well, that's great, and we welcome you here. We've had a little rain, finally some moisture, and could be a mix with snow here. So I think everybody's kind of been praying for that lately. So let's hope for that. But Senator, let's jump into some of the things that you're working on. You're working on a bill that would increase the learning of artificial intelligence for our kids, because you think that's a very important skill for them to learn, and I would agree with that. But tell us how that effort is going.
So we had the hearing, the public debate in Education Committee, Senate Education Committee. It passed, and then it went to the Senate floor, and we debated there. It passed. We had, I think there was four that voted against it, and I'm not quite sure why. It's a good bill. It does local control. It lets the local people control it. So what it does is it says the State Board of Education needs to create a framework, and we want to push AI. We really do want to push it, but we wanted to push it sensible, responsible. We want to make sure our kids are safe. You know, for 3 years, I pushed a mobile device bill trying to get out in front of our mobile device bill and we failed. And so now we're trying, okay, AI, let's see if we can get in front of that before we get in trouble and help our kids. So AI is moving fast. Every sector of business is using AI. And I would guess every single user or person that's listening on this is using AI, and they might not even know it, but it still gets local control down at the local school districts. They will use the framework as a starting point from the state board, and then they will look to bring in parents, industry, and say, okay, what do we want to have our kids know about AI? And it's age appropriate. I'm not saying to put a kindergarten or a third grader in front of ChatGPT and say, go at it. I'm saying teach them that AI, what AI is, that it's not a real human being, that there is no warm belly button in the back of that screen. So help them understand it. It does not think. It does not have any values. Generative AI uses a pattern. It tries to say, well, this is the next best answer I can give you, or the next best word or image. It uses a pattern. And think of it as a calculator. A calculator, you do numbers. With a calculator, with AI, the calculator, it does the same kind of thing. It does patterns. It helps you to figure out what the next best question is. So we got to get our kids ready for jobs that don't even exist right now. AI is moving so fast. And, you know, President Amon at CEI, he always told the industries and businesses, don't make me guess. Let me know what you want. So I can educate and train these kids. And that's kind of what we did. We brought in industries, 20 people from across the state that were in healthcare, banking, agriculture, manufacturing, you name it. We had them in there and we said, okay, what do we want? How do we get these kids ready for AI? And so I'm excited about it. It's over to the House now. I think we'll probably hear it in the House Education Committee this week, and then probably on to the House floor. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Senator, you sit on JFAC, and you've had some
strong
feelings about the budget cuts. There's been a little bit of disagreement about where we're going to make up this budget shortfall at. And so why don't you just lay out what happened on, I believe it was Friday, there was a vote 14-6 to approve additional new state budget cuts. Why don't you lay that out for us and tell us how you feel about that?
Oh, you know me. I would love to tell you how I feel about that. So they decided to do a 1% or a 2% across the board cut, okay? And I want you to think about your own home budget or your business budget. You would never say, oh, let's just do a 1% cut across the board. You wouldn't do that. You would go find, well, what are my wants and what are my needs? For instance, a 1% cut, which is what we ended up passing for 2026. So we're in the middle of 2026. We have about 6 months left of the 2026 fiscal year. So in that 1% would cost us a cut was $15 million. Well, I went out doing my homework like you guys voted me to do and found $60 million from going and saying, oh, that piece, we can cut that. So looking across the board, what we did is we said, okay, JFAC, we're going to give your responsibility to directors, you agent directors, you go change policy, you go change your financing, however you want to do, and come back and tell us. And so that's what they did. They didn't get voted to do that. They were assigned to their position. They were hired. We as legislators, that was our job to do. So for instance,
Senator, I want to ask you a really quick question here, and I definitely want to let you finish here. But if the alternative is you're deciding what those cuts are, doesn't that create a little bit of a problem with the agency heads having the lawmakers come in and telling them, I know you do your job every day, you're on the ground every day, but we're the ones that are going to tell you where you're going to make the cuts?
True. That's why we as legislators, you elect us and you unelect us based on what we do. And I have been talking to people. I am not a healthcare. I am a computer geek. I am not a transportation person. I am not a manufacturing or an ag. I like to think I'm an ag person with my 8 acres, but I'm not. So I talk to Idaho people. So by going a 1% board, I want you to think about your home budget or your business budget. Let's say you got a new car and you're saying, well, 1% cut, we're going to do a 1% cut on oil changes. Now that might invalidate my warranty, but oh well, I'm going to do a 1% cut across the board. My HVAC system, I should maintain it, but I'm not going to. Guess why ITD on State Street building, the building there on State Street, failed? Because of the HVAC system. Are we really going to go there again and expect, okay, yeah, guys, cut back and let's not do HVAC maintenance? We can find plenty of cuts. There is no doubt in my mind. There is bloat. We can find the cuts. But going a 1% across the board, you are cutting muscle from those lean agencies, and you're cutting just a little bit of fat from the bloated industries or agencies. I was sent here to do the work, and that's what I intend to do. So yes, I was really quite upset that we would do something like that. Again, you wouldn't do that for yourself. You just wouldn't.
A really quick follow-up, Senator, to that. Initially, with the governor's State of the State speech, he put it was his wish list, of course, but he put education off limits to cuts. But then you gave it a couple of weeks and you had Representative Tanner and Senator Groh saying, no, we do have to look at education. And then Superintendent Critchfield said, no, I'm not going to do it. We talked with Leader Moyle last week, and he said, no, education's going to be off the table. So as time goes on in this legislative session, we're hearing different things. Can you give us the latest on what may happen with the education budgets? There was another budget as
police.
Well. Police. That there had been talk about that being off limits as well. Give us a status update on that.
Okay. So on the education... The governor said he didn't touch education, and that's not quite right. There's what we call a population thing for the universities. Depending on how much they grow, we give them so much more money. Well, that came back. We didn't give it to them, and that's millions of dollars that they didn't get. So to say that we didn't touch education is not quite right. We did in a roundabout way. And it's going to be tough for the education. For police, I believe that is correct. I don't think we've touched the police. We had them come in and do a presentation to us. I think it was either Friday or Thursday, but they talked about their budget. I think it's a $118 million budget that we were looking at. And to my knowledge, I don't see us touching them. They're struggling, even in Idaho Falls. So he gave an example. It says up in Lewiston, I have to grab patrolmen from somewhere else in the state. And I say, go and stay up. I'll pay for your room and board. go and stay up in Lewiston and patrol for a week, and then I'll bring you down and I'll get somebody else. And he described that. And then he says, Idaho Falls is right next to being have to do that as well, that we don't have enough patrolmen, that people are leaving for different jobs. So right now, I haven't heard anyone that wants to cut IPD.
Okay.
All right. A little bit of a softer question, Senator. I think I was looking at your Substack. You've been involved with a potential name change on the Lewis Clark State College. You want to give us an update on that?
Yeah. So that's kind of exciting. And so President, I think it's Pepperton. I probably slaughtered her name. So we'll just call her President. She came in and said, yeah, I would like to change the name of Lewis Clark State College to Lewis Clark State University. And then, of course, being on JFAC, first question, I said, well, how much is that going to cost me to do that? And she says, it should not cost you anything. We have been saving. We believe we can absorb the cost. Plus, I believe that the advertisement that we are putting out, the cost of advertising, helping people realize we really are a four-year school. All of our community colleges say community college. And so when you hear Lewis Clark State College, you think, oh, it's another community. It's another two-year school. And that's not true with Lewis Clark State. They are a four-year college. Changing the name does not say we're going to give you more money. It doesn't say you're going to open your doors for research or anything else. The mission has not changed, and I don't see that changing either. I believe it's just a name change. And I think in my Substack, I used an example of Sherry and I went to Weber State College, and that's where we met. And we were the first ones to graduate after they changed the name to Weber State University. And it might be a little proud and prideful, but we thought, oh, we graduated from a university. And so we thought we were a little bit better. So I don't know. I think it's a good idea.
All right. Back to a hard question, Senator Cook. I know you were an opponent of House Bill 93. However, the Idaho Supreme Court heard the case, the arguments from both sides, and they decided very decisively, unanimously, that House Bill 93 is indeed constitutional, that the legislature does have the ability to give tax credits and incentives to families who want to choose something other than K through 12. Now that that's been decided by the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch, what is your posture towards House Bill 93? Do you plan on an effort to try to repeal it at some point down the road, or do you recognize it as just part of the educational landscape in Idaho?
No, I never questioned its constitutional. I questioned the ability to view the money as a JFAC. That money comes out before it ever gets to the general fund.
Yeah.
And that is what I have hammered on over and over again. I can't see that money. It's not accountable to the Idaho people. I can't come home to Idaho Falls and tell you where that money went. That's where I was having a problem. But let me just say, that ship has sailed. I'm not here to say, oh, we've got to figure out a way to repeal it. It's here. Let's work with it. Let's see how we can do. And if we can figure out how to watch that money and see where it's going, then I'm on board.
Okay, fair enough. And we are out of time. Senator Cook, we appreciate your time. We'd love to have you on again soon. Maybe get an update on water. Hopefully we'll get some here over the next few days. But
I hope so.
We'd love to do that. So, Senator, thank you for your time today.
All right. Thank you so much.